We want to talk about the call of God. Everybody say the call of God. We go to Mark chapter 3, and we're going to read, Mark chapter 3, and Gospel of Mark here, chapter 3. We're going to read a couple of scriptures, 13 and 14. Here's Jesus calling his 12 apostles, and he goes up into a mountain, verse 13 says it, and he calleth unto him whom he would, and they came to him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. Here we see the Lord calling his 12 apostles, which are called the Lamb, apostles of the Lamb. This is a very unique calling. There'll never ever be this kind of a apostle again. They were called to spend time with Jesus, specifically for those 3 years that he was on earth. They were to witness, you know, his life. They were to be there with him all throughout his time, and to be a personal witness to him, to be a personal, to be mentored by him, and to see all the stuff that he did, and to firsthand notice all those things. So, you know, no one ever will have that call again. These guys are 12 unique people that the Lord has called, but we want to talk further about the calling of God upon our lives. And so, you know, have you ever asked yourself, you know, what am I called to do? And if you've been asking yourself that, or if you ever ask yourself that, you're not alone, because everybody has asked himself, what am I called to do? And each one of us in life needs to have a purpose. We all need a purpose. And God has designed this life for us to do something. And he's equipped us. He's given us an ability to do what he's called you to do. He just doesn't call you and just leave you like that. He'll give you what we call an anointing. He'll provide the equipment to do whatever you call, what he called you to do. Here's what Paul said about the call of God upon his life, in which, you know, we all can relate to, in his letter to the church at Rome. He said over here, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, you have to, you know, you read that first chapter we read, or the first couple of verses we read, Mark chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. He called 12 apostles to be with him during his ministry there. But then here we have another man called Paul. Now, he wasn't one with these guys. He was not with Jesus. He was not one of those recognized, people who personally walked with the Lord and saw him and heard him preach and so on. In fact, he was against that, you know. And the Lord actually appeared to him over, we see that in Acts chapter 9, where the Lord appeared to him personally and called him too. But he didn't call him in the same class as these guys, you know, just different classes of apostles. And we see that throughout the entire Bible. You know, there's a number of scriptures that indicate that there are several, I can't remember what the number is, 30, 40 people that are actually called apostles in the New Testament. But they don't all have the same level of anointing. And they're not all called to do the same thing. In fact, one time, you know, my pastor is called an apostle. That's what he is. And, there's levels of apostleship. And so people, if you don't understand that, you've never studied the Bible, you could get offended. Like one guy, I had a businessman who was giving me $10,000 a year to support my ministry on television. And then I had an advertisement that said, Apostle Rick Shimatero was coming to Thunder Bay, you know, as part of one of our guest speakers for our conference, and he wrote a letter to me. He says, you know, you're a false ministry because you call this guy an apostle. And so we had a discussion, and so he said, I'm going to withdraw my support for you. And so I guess he probably thought that we were going to go down, but that's many, many years ago. But we still survived without him, without that $10,000 a year. But, you know, we do have other people who give. And so, you know, so there is different levels of apostles. So the kind of lowest level of apostle, if you might say, is someone that we call missionaries. The word apostle in the Greek is apostolos. It's a Mexican word. No, it's a Greek word, and it's actually the word literally means sent one, or messenger, special messenger, or sent one. So when God calls you, He sends you. So that's, you know, a very descriptive of an apostle. So God called these 12 apostles of the Lamb, and they were sent to do something special for Jesus. Also, if a God calls you to start something new, usually an apostle is sometimes, you know, someone who is called, and they're called to do something, God would send them to do something, a work in the church world for Him. For instance, you know, they called Smith Wigglesworth an apostle of faith. So he was called to bring a special message of faith to the church. There's nobody like him. And, apostles are people who establish things. They build a foundation and they help build a church. And so that's kind of if you want to look at that further and study on it, we do have a Bible college and you can come and sign up. That's a little advertisement. So let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 7, and read in the King James Version. Paul is talking, he calls himself an apostle. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Here's somebody who knew exactly what he was called to do. But remember, when he first started out in ministry, he didn't call himself an apostle. In fact, when he was called, he didn't want to be called an apostle. He said, I don't deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. You know, when God calls you to do something, I'll tell you this, if God calls you to do something, you don't feel worthy. Emotionally, mentally, you don't feel worthy to have, God's anointing and hand on you, and you don't feel, because you're looking at it from a natural standpoint. We ought to see ourselves in Christ. Amen? We're the righteousness of God. I mean, you're sitting right here, if you're born again, you're righteous right now. You'll never be any more righteous a million years from now. You're righteous right now. That means God, you know, you were born into, you know, His family. You're born again. God begat you or got you born again through the Word of God. You received the Word and got born again. Your spirit is brand new. And we taught something last night at the Bible school. We said that you're born again. You're eternal like God. You will live forever. If you were to physically die right now, you'd live in another realm called the spirit world. In fact, the Bible doesn't tell you take a long journey. You're right there, bang. You're in the presence of Jesus. Some people tell us, you know, when you die, you take a long journey. You stick around here for several days, and we try to make sure you go. No, praise God, we're going right into the presence of Jesus. Amen, amen. And so, we're spirit beings. And we have a soul and a body. You know, your soul is not born again. Neither is your body. That's why we're having trouble in this world. Amen? You gotta change your mind about a lot of things. Renew your mind about a lot of things. We taught the Bible school students last night, you know, your soul, your thinking, which is part of your soul, your thinking is part of your soul, and your emotions is part of your soul. When you got born again, you don't have a new mind all of a sudden. That's something that you have to cope with. You have to renew. You have to do something with your feelings. I'm talking about your senses. You have to do something with your will. Bring it in line with the Word of God. And you have to do something with your body. Your body's not born again either. One day you'll have a brand new body. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that you'll have a, I think it's verse 51 to 54, you'll have a brand new body one day that doesn't want to sin anymore. But if you notice that, your body wants to do certain things. And, you know, Bible calls, you know, Paul says that your body, you know, it'll want to do the same things it used to do. If you let it. If you're carnal, you'll be body-led. And we in the church need to be spirit-led. And that takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. Hallelujah. Well, that's all free information. We're not going to give you a charge anything extra. And so we'll continue with our study. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people know there's somebody here called the Holy Ghost? He's here. Amen. He's here. He's invisible. The Bible says he's Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. Lift that hand up and acknowledge him right now. Praise God. He is Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. He's here. We switched the light on. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he's going to do something good in your life. Praise God. Amen and amen. He is here. We turned the light on. We turned the switch of faith on. And something happens. Glory to God. Okay, let's go ahead and read. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received this grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom you are also called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to bring your attention to two words that we'd like to bring out for our teaching. Paul said, a servant of Jesus Christ, number one, called. Number two, separated. There's two things, you know, when, you know, God calls you, he calls you. You know, he does the calling. Nobody else does, but God himself calls you. You can't be called by a human organization. In other words, you know, the natural church or an organization or agency can never call someone. Even the greatest Bible school in the whole world cannot call you into the ministry. It only prepares you to walk and to really notice the call and to understand and realize about what the call is all about. And so he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, number one, called what? To be an apostle. For someone else in here, it might be called to be something else. He says, separated into the gospel. So there's two things that he's talking about. The word call is from the Greek word kaleo, which means to be called to something, or called aloud, or to be summoned. You know, Paul said when he was called, in Acts chapter 9, Paul was called, Jesus called him and appeared to Paul, and a bright light shone, and he fell over on the floor, on the ground, off his animal. I don't know what he was riding, a horse perhaps. Could be a camel. I don't know what he had. Not a skidoo. But he fell off and he heard a voice calling him, Paul, Paul. And he said, who are you, Lord? I remember Nathan's uncle used to come visit me years ago when I lived over in Kenora. He'd drive up with his old car. He had this long, long Chevrolet. You had to like almost use a brakeman to turn corners. That's how long it was, you know, just a long, long vehicle. And I'd come home after work, and he'd be sitting there waiting for me with his car running. He would stay with me. He would be going up north. He lived in the southern Ontario. He'd travel up here by car, and then he'd fly out to north somewhere. Sometimes he'd drive as far as car could take him. And I was in Kenora. So he stopped there, and he said to me, one time, he says, I'm on the reserve, and I'm doing my chores, and I'm splitting wood. You know, some of us used to split wood. Anybody ever split wood? Let me see your hand. 1, 2, 3. Number of you still splitting wood? Well, we used to do it. You know, we're part of the heating system back home. Way back then, some of you still do it. I know my father-in-law, he passed away not too long ago, and he had to split wood. Cut wood, you know. So he's chopping wood, and he said a voice from heaven called out to me. He said, Larry, Larry. And he said he fell over. And the Lord called him. And that's why he's traveling. Last time I saw Larry, was years ago. We were in Parisson, and I went there to preach, and I saw Larry. It was so nice to see him. It touched my heart to see Larry. Old Larry, now he's passed away. He had some kind of dementia, I think, at the end of his life. And so he tells me, I want to go to Thunder Bay. I said, okay, come on, I'll take you. They said, no, you can't take. They can't take Larry. Getting directions to Thunder Bay. So Siri's talking to me here. You know, this Siri, it likes to butt in. Siri, I'm not talking to you. Siri? Okay, all right. She doesn't want to talk to me now. Okay, so the word called means to be separated. It means to be summoned. So heaven will summon you. It's like you're in a, you know, go to court or something like that. I remember years ago, you know, when I used to be in trouble, it's a summons me. The police would come knock on the door and give me a summons. He said, you're to appear in court. But thank God I'm free. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm no longer, you know. Anyway, I'm not wanted. I told you some of the old stories I had before. But Paul also said that he was separated. He was not only called, but separated. So many people know, you know, it doesn't take great maturity to know you're called by God. Everybody wants to know they're called to do something. You kind of feel something that you want to do, and then you kind of start working at it and start serving somewhere. Everybody in this room is called to do something for God. But it takes some little bit of maturity after to learn specifically what he wants you to do. We all want to serve God in some capacity. Best thing to do, if you don't know, just start serving wherever you are right now. And God will see to it that you will know. So he said separate into the gospel. So the word here separated is the Greek word aphario, which means to be separated apart by boundaries. Sometimes people know they're called, but they don't understand that even though you're called, say perhaps if you're called to be a minister of some sort, let's say you're called to be a pastor and you're separated under the call, it doesn't mean you can just pastor everywhere, anywhere in the world, because you know you're called to be a pastor. It doesn't mean you can just go to Vancouver and just start my call there. God calls you specifically to a certain place. Certain physical or geographical location, he'll call you there. He just doesn't call you, you know, to do anything, anywhere, anytime, to just do what you want to do. That's why so many, you know, Brother Hagin one time, he says that Jesus appeared to him a few times and told him different things. He said, you know, a lot of my ministers, they ask me to bless them, but I can't bless them because they're not doing what I call them to do. They're called, all right, but they're not doing exactly what I'm saying. And every time I missed it, are you listening to me? He said, every time I missed it, I got sick physically. He said, I had a heart attack because I wasn't doing, supposed to be, the devil got a hold of him and he had a heart attack. He said, Jesus said to him in the hospital, he said, you had that situation because He didn't do what I was told you to do, and you got off into what we call the permissive will of God. It's a gray area. You're not really in sin, serving the devil, but you know exactly what God told you to do, and yet you went the other direction. And so we need to be in the will of God. And so, I mean, you know, of course, the more you stay, the more you're called and you know what you're supposed to do with God, the further up you go in the kingdom of God, the less leeway you have to do what you want to do. I remember listening to you and I, we went to Florida years ago. We were listening to Brother Benny Hinn. And he said to us at the conference, he said, one day, I felt very sick after church service. And I went home and I had a shower. He said, I just fell over. And they took me to the hospital. And it had all kinds of tests. And he's supposed to go fly out that week and go to do a crusade. You know, had these big crusades. I guess they call them crusades. I don't like that word, crusade. But anyway, these special meetings they had. But when he was in the hospital, they said, you've had a heart attack. He said, I got to get out of the hospital because I'm flying out tomorrow. I'm going to do these meetings. He said, you ain't finding no one. You just had a heart attack, and if you go, you could die. Well, that doesn't feel good. You're serving God. How many people know you're serving God, but things happen to you? And so he's there praying, you know, and the doctors just check different things. He said, you got something wrong with your one of your large arteries, and you need to fix that, or you die. And so he said the doctors went out, and he's all alone there praying. He said, lo and behold, somebody can walk in the door, and here's Jesus. Comes to sit down. He said, you got out of my will. If you obey me, I'll heal you. He said, you're just doing what you want to do. But if you will obey what I tell you to do, I'll heal you. And I'll increase your anointing, and I'll make your ministry flourish. And he did. He said, I remember before that, he said, I was trying to have meetings, and I couldn't even do any meetings. Like they had the mass meetings, and he said, we used to try to do that all the time in Florida, have meetings, and nobody would hardly show up. But after that, you couldn't get the people in the house in one area. And so Brother Higgins did the same thing. He said he had that twice. One time he fell off when he was preaching, and the Lord said to him, you were out of my will. You need to check up on yourself. If something's going on in your life, it's not going so smoothly, you better ask of yourself if you're doing the right thing. Amen? So that's a little bit of salt. Praise God for your food. Now, it says separated by boundaries. So when God calls you, you have to understand what he's calling you to do. Stay within that calling, but also stay within the realm of that call. Because you just can't do anything with it, anything you want to do. So we say, you know, generally we say, what is a call? You know, the apostles were called. We saw that in there, that he called his 12 apostles. Then we see that Jesus called the apostle Paul over here. And so we talk about a call, generally speaking, the call of God is what we call the will of God or the plan of God for your life. Generally talking about it. So God has a call for everyone on the earth. He's called every one of us. There are general things that God has called everyone. Like, for instance, God has called everyone to be born again. God has called everyone to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God's called every one of us to serve in the church somewhere. But specifically speaking, that's another thing to do, is to ask God specifically, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to live? Right? So people that are, in the Christian world, you get up in the morning, God just doesn't call you to do, you don't just decide anything you want to do. You don't just say, well, I think I'll just go and join this church today. No, God called you specifically to a church. to fulfill a role, to do what he's called you to do. And, you know, Pastor Hagin used to preach this message called, about a place called there. If you read in the Old Testament, the Bible says that God called him there. And wherever God calls you there, that's where you see most fulfillment in your life, most significant relationships. The most blessings of God happen in there. The most prosperity comes there. Wherever God called you to be, the happiest, the most protected you'd be is in that area where the place called there. Hallelujah. So there's a plan for everybody, and there's a purpose for your existence. We all have something to do in God's kingdom. We are to meet needs for the people of God in His church. So the call of God is the plan of God, or the purpose of God, or the will of God, generally speaking. So no one calls himself into the ministry, or no one calls himself to do whatever, you know. You say, well, I think I'll just serve God this way. No, wait a minute. God calls you first. And you have to find out, it's your responsibility to find out, Lord, there's a calling in my life, so what is it? So you don't call yourself into the ministry particularly, or specifically, no one calls himself and say, you know what, hey, I like what Pastor Roman's doing. I think I'll try that. I'll do that. No, you can't do that because you're going to get into trouble. I mean, who would want that anyway? I mean, you don't want to do that. You must be divinely called, just like these guys were called over here. We just read the apostles. God decides the plan for your life. You know, specifically, you know, here, generally speaking, you read Jeremiah 29:11. The Bible says, I have a plan for you. There's a plan for every one of us. Everybody said, there's a plan. Let's get that scripture up there, and let's read that scripture. I don't have it in my notes, but let's get it up here and read it, because we need to know something, generally speaking, at least about what God has said in His Word. NLT says, for I know the plans. Everybody say plans. The plans I have for you, says the Lord, they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now, everybody wants hope. Everybody wants a future. Everybody wants to know they're heading in the right direction, that there's something good up there somewhere. Right? And so that's what's going to empower you every morning to get up. Something is waiting for you. You know, there's people to see, things to do, places to go, projects to finish. And so he says, I know what plans I have for you, says the Lord. Now, here's the Lord talking to people, a backslidden people. People who are not walking with Him. People who are not doing what God told them to do. And they did have disaster. They did have a bad time, a rough go, but God was calling them back. He said, I got something good for you. This was a scripture, spoken to backslidden people. I got a plan for you. He says, there, a plan to prosper you. Something good. No disasters. God never planned any day. You know, at work we have what they call sick days. You could take a sick day off. I never used to take a sick day off because I didn't want to be sick. If I want to take a day off, I just take a day off. I call it sick. I don't call it sick. I say, I call it well. I'm well, but, you know, I'm not coming to work today. I do have a day and a half, I think. Is it a day and a half or something? Or one day a month? I don't know. Whoever works in it. You guys work? Okay, so anyway, plans for good, not disaster, give you a future to hope. Everybody wants a future. So God has one for you. Let's go to another scripture that gives us a hope like that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Let's read in the Amplified, I think, classical version. Praise God. How many like classical music? Okay, let's go here. Amplified classical. That's pretty short. There we go. I think, watch this. She's trying to cut me down. Are you trying to cut me down? We only got 7 minutes left, that's why. Okay, so Ephesians 2:10, classical version, amplified. For we are God's workmanship or handiwork, recreated in Christ Jesus. Now we got born again in Christ Jesus, that's what he's talking about. Born anew that we should do those good works which God predestined or planned ahead for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them. That's good. I mean, this is something that God said that he's already prepared something. You know, he's already prepared that. Glory to God. Something good's going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. I think I'll make a country album. I don't know which kind of album I'm going to make, but I think it might be country, a classical, no, not a classical. Maybe I'll do like an upscale country music. What are you laughing at, huh? My biggest cheer person is laughing at me. And you're going to be my backup singer, too, you know? How many people would like to see Grace on drums next Sunday morning? So nobody calls himself to the ministry. Even Jesus didn't call himself to the ministry. The Lord, God says that the Father called him. Over here in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1 to 4, it says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men, and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant, on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. By reason thereof, he ought for the people, so also for himself to offer sins. And no man take it to dishonor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as Aaron was. So all these guys in the Old Testament, they were called to be priests. Not everybody was called to the priesthood. Not everybody was called, you know, in the tabernacle, even cleaning and taking down the tabernacle, there are certain people could do the job. Not everybody could do that. You couldn't go in and look and peek in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies. You'd die. So, you know, it was very specific. In fact, In the Old Testament, when someone stepped out of line, they, you know, like a priest or something, and they wanted to become like a prophet or whatever, they would be in big trouble. They'd die. You can't just call yourself to the office. So you know, you see that in the Old Testament. So you're not self-appointed. Hebrews 5:5 says this: so Christ also glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. You know, Jesus himself didn't decide what he wanted to do. He told his Father, thy will be done. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, notice the New Living Translation. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by a group of people or of any human authority, but Jesus Christ himself, and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. He said, no human organization or authority had called me. The King James says, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. It's not of men, neither by man. So it's a matter of God's will. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 says this: Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Even Sosthenes here. Praise God. How would you like your name to be Sosthenes? I think I'll call myself Sosthenes from now on. That'd be a nice name. That sounds Ojibwe a little bit, though. That sounds good. Here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. Now, we got to stretch this out a little bit here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 11, New Living. When I think of all this, Paul says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ by for the benefit of you Gentiles, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me this special responsibility of extending God's grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into the plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and the mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. Though I am the least deserving of all of God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom and its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried throughout Jesus Christ our Lord. He's talking about the plan of God, you know, revealed to the Gentiles. Same thing as called the blessings of God with the rest of the Jews. We're called one people now, but also that God had a plan for the church. That he's going to exercise power against this unseen world that's against him. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, Paul's talking to a young man called Timothy. He said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? The word holy calling, don't be disturbed by that. It just means separated. A special separation. It doesn't mean that you're so pure and so holy you don't sin. He's talking about separated. It means God specifically put you aside. You know, the calling of God is a separation of God. It's a special call. So like for me, I'm a pastor. My wife recognizes that. When I'm on here ministering, she knows that, hey, there's somebody there besides my husband. There's an anointing that comes on me when I minister. And then when I get off after, I don't carry that and walk home, you know, like and act like a reverend. I tell my wife, go get me some tea. Well, I might say that, but I don't. I never say that. I learned my lesson after several bumps on my head. people, in time past, we've seen the power of God in demonstration. We haven't seen that here. Ever, I don't think, in this, we haven't ministered that way. The Lord told me, don't minister that way. Years ago now. He said, I don't want you to minister like you used to, but I want you to teach. So I did my best to try to teach. And so I became more of a teacher than a preacher. And, it's exhausting trying to preach on your own. You ever try to preach and yell for 24 hours? Or an hour, 2 hours, and on and on, it's exhausting. You get sore lungs. So he tells this man, he saved us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but his own purpose, his own grace, which is given us in Christ before the world began. In other words, each one of you, God had a plan before he even created the world. It's wonderful to know that God had you on his mind long, long time ago. Not according to your work. Now, not according to your works. Now, you know, you don't just become so good that God calls you. You don't become so smart in some kind of high-level university that all of a sudden you attain to a certain level and God calls you. God will call you right where you are. Just there's a call before you ever did anything for anybody. Paul said, when I was in my mother's womb in Galatians chapter 1, he said, God called me when I was in my mother's womb. What did he do? He didn't do anything. God still called him. You know? So God has a call for every person in this room, in this house, or that is watching online. And not only does God call you, but he equips you. Not only does he equip you, He also gives you the, what we call, you know, the not only the grace, but also he gives you the ability to believe that you can do almost anything. It scares you. It scares me sometimes because I try to, you know, I'm talking to myself, I'm praying, and I'm praying things that just blows my mind. And I was listening to Jesse DePanis yesterday. He says that we should have faith in the power of God, not in the wisdom of man. He says when God calls you, it's the power of God in demonstration to do what he's called you to do. So you don't have to think, okay, how can I be so smart? I gotta build this ministry. I gotta do this. No, God just gives you something. All of a sudden, you could just believe for something. He said, I could do that. I was at a Benny Hinn conference one time, and I said, I could do that. I could do that. I want to do that. It was coming out of me just like that because something in me told me I could do that. And I did it. You know, to a certain degree, a certain level, I did it. Because I recognize this. I remember listening to, I was reading in the Old Testament. The Bible says that God told Moses. Moses was complaining because he couldn't do a whole pile of work that God, he's getting tired. And ministry is tiresome. And so God says, okay, listen. I want you to call 70 people that you know as elders, and I'm going to take the same spirit upon you, and I'm going to spread it out over the other guys. And so he said, so they went out, and God spread the anointing upon not only what Moses had, but he spread it to all those guys, had the same anointing. And they all started prophesying. And there was some people that was not in that group, still in the camp, they started prophesying. So I think it was Joshua who said, Lord, or Moses, these guys over here are prophesying in the camp. Should we stop them? He said, no, I wish everybody was a prophet. I remember a story, you know, in the account of the apostles. The Lord sent out 12 people and anointed them to cast out devils and heal the sick. You'll see that in Matthew and Luke. And then also, he called 70, and he spread that same anointing upon those 70 as he did those 12 apostles. He sent 70 more out there, chapter 9 and chapter 10 of the book of Luke. And so there was one guy who saw all that. He said, I'm going to do the same thing. So he started casting devils out and doing the work of God, healing the sick. And so that word got back to them, and they said, hey, there's one guy, he's not with us. He was not with the 70, but he's out there doing the same thing. Shall we stop him? The Lord said, don't stop him. To a certain degree, you can do certain things in ministry, generally speaking, as somebody else does, but you can't have the full measure of that anointing. Just like Elisha and Elijah, he said, I want what you got. I want the same anointing what you got. And the Lord said, hey, provided you have the same kind of calling, you're going to have the same thing as that person. I remember Brother Hagin telling us that before. He said, you know, if you have a calling and same as someone, you can catch that same anointing. Somebody had a word for me the other day, last Sunday or the Sunday before. He said, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, if there's a word spoken in a service and a word of knowledge going out for healing for somebody, and that person got healed, how can I just jump in there? I said, oh, yeah, you can jump in. Receive that same anointing. If the word is being spoken to somebody, hey, you're getting healed right now with this thing, and you have the same problem, just jump in. Say, I'm going to receive that too, praise God. And you can have it. Hallelujah. I went 7 minutes later here, but we're going to have to continue this one time. Let me just finish this off. Ephesians 1, 3, 7. It says, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, unto me by the effectual working of his power. One more scripture. You see, this ministry is a gift, and it's also a grace. You didn't have to work for it. You didn't have to be good for it. You didn't have to pray a number of hours to get it. God gave it to you. He just revealed that you had it. And everybody has a calling. Every one of us has significance in God. Every one of us has a purpose in God. Everybody in here, say everybody.
Everybody.
Say everybody.
Everybody.
Now let's go to this. Romans chapter 3, chapter 2, 12, verse 3. This is the last scripture. For I say through the grace given unto me, how many people know that under the grace of God, you can do certain things? If you try something without the grace, it's not going to work. Paul said he could say certain things under the grace of God. And so he said, the grace given me, and to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So two words in Romans chapter 3 is grace and faith. So when God calls you, He gives you what they call the grace of God. The grace of God is actually the gift of God, the anointing of God in your life. He empowers you spiritually to stand specifically to do certain things for Him. And secondly, He gives you the faith to do what He's calling you to do. Like, for instance, I don't have to pray hours on hours to believe that I could be a pastor. It's like the gift of faith. The gift of faith will come upon you, and suddenly you know certain things. I was sitting in my room in 1981. I'm sitting there in Kenora, Ontario. I come home after work, and I'm reading something. And all of a sudden, I realize that power came upon me, and suddenly, out of nowhere, it just came upon me. And all of a sudden, I knew I could do certain things. I knew if I could speak something, it would happen. And listen to me. I didn't realize this until years later. What it was is what we call the gift of faith. When the gift of faith comes on you, you could just do whatever God told you to do. And when you're called of God to do something, you get to realize, I can do this. And I'm able to do it. Well, how'd you get that? Well, it's called the grace of God. And it's called also the faith of God. God also graces you. Then He faithes you, if you want to say it that way. He gives you the faith to do whatever He's called you to do. So none of us have to worry about the calling and whatever God called you to do. He'll give you the grace. He'll give you the ability and the belief to do whatever He calls you to do. You know, if you read chapter 1 of, you know, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 in there, that God, you know, He's called you. And chapter 2 and verse verse 6 is over there. It says there that he'll give you the, even sometimes when we don't want to serve God, He'll give you the want to. Because there's times in your life where you don't want to do it. But you say, Lord, just give me the want to. Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise God.